Well, happy Christmas, everyone. And thank you, Victor, for that, our last reading. Please look down at what we've got there on the page. We have a Christmas party with gifts and prizes, the kind of stuff we got behind us here. I'm not sure that is the actual originals, but gold and frankincense and myrrh are there. And also a scandalous and disputed attendance list and a head of state who you may not be able to trust. And the rumbles from this Christmas party threatened to bring down a government. That is Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew thinks you need to understand his Christmas party, not the Downing Street one, in order to understand your life. Because Matthew met Jesus, knew Jesus, and he thinks that you need Jesus. But Matthew also understands that is a big deal to say. And he expects to split the room on this, expects that some of us will love Jesus and some of us will hate Jesus. That's Matthew's message about Christmas. And if in 2021 everyone loves Christmas, well, then Matthew might ask if we've really understood it. So love Jesus or hate Jesus? I want to spend a few minutes on each of those reactions. So first of all, Herod, he hates the new king. In our reading, we've got two kings. I'm afraid the whole three kings bit that we just sung is probably not right. In the carol, we said three kings, but actually in the reading, it's wise men. They're not kings. And they come, though, to ask King Herod. There's our first king. They come to ask him a question. They say, where is he, the one who has been born King of the Jews? And there's our second king. There's one king on the throne, and there is a second, a baby king, who they want to find. Now, if wise men from the east arrived at your house asking for the king of England, you might think it was odd, and you'd wonder what to do with all those camels. But that is not the problem they've got here. They don't think this is odd. They've gone to the royal palace. They're in the right place. But there is a problem. It says, verse number 3, Herod and the whole town are disturbed. And that is because Herod is an old man and he has not had a baby for a while. Which makes this like the day that the postboy arrives on the top floor saying he's got post for the new CEO. Post for the new chairman, where do you want it? And imagine that Daniel Levy comes out of his office at Spurs saying, what do you mean? There is no new chairman. I am the longest serving chairman in English football. I've been here 20 years. We're fifth in the league and a bit of COVID doesn't mean anything. And the postboy has to suggest he turns on BBC News because there is something he needs to understand. That's the moment we've got here. Herod, he understands exactly what these wise men are on about. He knows that the King of the Jews means the Messiah, or the Christ, we sometimes say. So he calls together the experts, verse 4. He gets them to Google the Bible to find out where Messiah was supposed to be born. And they understand what this means. It means a ruler to shepherd my people Israel. Born in Bethlehem, predicted 500 years earlier by Micah. But Bethlehem, that is a good result for Herod because Bethlehem is only 5 miles away. So he engages in a bit of nifty government outsourcing and he sends the magi, his consultants, to go and find the new king. And verse 8, just look down at verse number 8 because it is exactly what he should say. Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And if you were suspicious of Herod during the reading, well, then you probably know too much about politics. Because actually, God shares your suspicions and he warns the wise men to go home a different way. So imagine being Herod. He's waiting. He waits for them to go 5 miles one way and time for a bit of worshiping and 5 miles back again. Maybe they had a nice lunch on the way, but you know, where are they? Maybe he waits a whole day. And then if you were, when you go home tonight, if you were to read the rest of the story, then you will see the hate. Herod, he was furious. And so he kills all of the babies in Bethlehem, all of the boys under the age of 2, just to be sure. Kill the lot with a safety margin. It's not very Christmassy, is it? And we see in that what was going on with Herod all along. Herod hates this baby that he's never met because he hates the idea of his power being taken away. And notice, Herod hates Jesus because he understands him. And Herod hates Jesus because the evidence is so certain. You know, at one level, Herod is just pathetic. He's sneaky, he's insecure, he's a bit of a bodge job, he can't even kill a baby properly. But a pathetic, sneaky, insecure, stupid dictator is still a horrible thing. And Herod gives us just one more example of what is in our papers every day, all around the world, in any number of conflicts and any number of presidential palaces. These orders keep on being given and children keep on dying. This is precisely why we need a replacement king from God. But shockingly, Matthew is almost recommending Herod's reaction to you. Remember, he expects to divide the room, and he wants to move us out of the sort of not bothered reaction into a strong reaction. Matthew thinks we should either love or hate and nothing in between. See, Herod isn't unique in Matthew's gospel. Nearly all the other characters end up wanting Jesus dead, the chief priests, the scribes, and the crowds. And Herod's reasons to hate Jesus are not unique either. They are universal. See, this baby has come to remove us from our personal thrones just as surely as he came to remove Herod from his. You put together all the titles in the carols and the readings tonight, and you have a king, a messiah, a shepherd, a son of God, someone who will rule from sea to sea and over every single nation, including me and my desire to run my own life autonomously without the interference of God or his son, Jesus. I don't want two kings in my life, so I am likely to hate God's chosen king. Okay, there's our first strong reaction, hate the new king. But here there are also some people who love Jesus. That's the second reaction, love the rescuing king. And that's the wise men, the magi. Verse 10, they were overjoyed. They bowed down and worshipped him. That the wise men love Jesus. They really do. They've traveled for months. They've come to worship. And worship is the word they used for what you did to gods or to kings. It means down on your face in the dirt. These are important, rich people in their culture, and they are now face down in the dirt before a baby with presents that start at 3 grand a kilo. The contrast with Herod could not be greater, could it? These ignorant, foreign stargazers, they hear that God is sending a king, and so they rush across empires to kneel in the dirt at his feet, while the knowledgeable politicians of God's people, they send the heavies to murder God's king. These wise men, they shouldn't even have been on the guest list, but they love him. They were overjoyed. And Matthew says that is the right response. And he uses a parallel from Jewish history to say they have met the rescuer of the whole world. See, the wise men from their country, they knew about Israel's God and the Old Testament because God's people had been deported to Babylon. If you were to read Matthew's gospel, Babylon is mentioned 3 times on the first page. And the prophecies Matthew brings together, they're all about the end of that deportation. the end of God's people being refugees away from their God. King Jesus comes to say the deportation is over. You can come home. You can come in from the cult. And the idea is that we, all of us in our lives, do what Herod did in his. We reject God's rule and his authority, and we say we want to rule ourselves. And we get very defensive, just like Herod, at the idea that we should stop and obey God instead. And God, in history, he punished his own people with deportation because they lived like that. Though that is actually only a small picture of what faces us when we die and face God's verdict on our rule. But this baby says rescue, says time to come in from the cold, time to come home, time to be friends with God again. When Fran read from Matthew chapter 1, we heard what the name Jesus actually means. It means he will save his people from their sins. So Herod's story is a tragedy. He sees Jesus as a threat when really Jesus came to rescue him and forgive him. Remember, Matthew wants to move people who are not bothered about Jesus towards hate, or better, towards love. And the reasons to love Jesus here, they could be true of us as well. Jesus is the Messiah who came to save us from our sins if we will fall down and worship him. So can I ask you to do something about Jesus this Christmas? If we're locked down again, you're going to have plenty of time on your hands. So as Stacey said, we're giving away this book. Please take it with you. This is just the very beginning of one of the Gospels in the New Testament, and it comes with a sort of guide to help you as you read it. Or as well, please turn to the inside back cover of the service booklet, and you'll see that starting in January, we run a course called Hope Explored. It's a discussion, a chance over 3 Monday evenings to think through some of these issues. You won't find a better use of your Monday evenings in January, online or in person. So love him or hate him. Jesus is born the King, our last carol says, and our last carol calls on us to adore him.